Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us on Close Up Radio. This is your host, Jim Masters, and this is also part two of our Butler of the Butler Initiative. Marsha Butler is an executive coach, business consultant, and the founder of the Butler Initiative, where she specializes in helping who are focused on their personal and professional growth, leadership development, as well as organizational innovation, transformation, and to all help organizations with their business goals and strategic priorities. Organizations, she says, got very used to hearing about the bottom line with limited intention behind changing the culture. The 21st century organization means more women, more people of color, and more intergenerational workers. Organizations must also prepare for this future now. Equity and inclusion impacts us all on all different levels, and there's much work to be done. Prior to launching the Butler Initiative, Marsha was a transformative executive-level leader in a global consumer products company where she primarily focused on corporate and social responsibility, and corporate social responsibility at that, global marketing and social impact and nonprofit engagement. And with an understanding of corporate America as an African-American woman and how to navigate the obstacles to grow and develop, Marsha empowers women and people of color to reach their maximum potential and grow into the leaders we need. She enjoys working with leaders looking to grow and transition in their lives. So says her role as a coach is to help them become aware of who they are and to help them understand their emotional social capacity for growth, change, and to reach their set goals in the future. Really incredible work. This is, as I mentioned, of a two-part series. If you didn't hear part one, we do encourage you to go and listen to part one. We do archive all of our episodes here on Close Up Radio. Thank you very, very much for joining us once again. Welcome back to Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Jim, for talking with me again today. It's quite an honor.
Oh, it's my honor as well. Thoroughly enjoying these conversations with you. It's a beautiful and impactful and long-lasting work you're doing. I'd like to step back, maybe rewind a little bit for those who might be joining us for the first time on this episode of Close Up Radio. And I'm going to encourage them, if they didn't know we did a part one, to go back in the archives and listen to part one. But for those just joining us today, let's talk about first, you know, your own inspirational journey, some of the things in your own life's journey, aha moments, that pointed you in the direction of doing this work that you do so well. Obviously, you're passionate about it, you're skilled, you're an expert in it. But there are certain things within you that have risen to the occasion that got you to realize you were meant to do this kind of work. You have to do work that inspires and empowers others. When did those inspirational moments sort of in your life's journey come along for you, Marsha?
Well, as you mentioned, I spent 35 years in corporate America. And prior to that, I was actually a practicing dentist in Michigan and New Jersey for a short time. And while I was, at the company, i.e. Colgate-Palmolive, I was able to actually be a leader coach and a mentor for many of, other members of my team and peers, as well as nonprofit organizations. And it just kind of resonated with me that I did like to and enjoyed helping particularly other women and people of color achieve their ambitions and their goals and love to see their response to the outcomes that, you know, they were able to achieve. So, you know, this kind of was the background for me wanting to aspire to be an executive coach. And a colleague and a friend of mine shared that he was enrolled in the Columbia University executive coaching program. So I also enrolled and successfully completed it and then obtained my executive coaching certification from Columbia. I wasn't sure as I retired from Colgate, I wasn't sure how this was going to work out, but I really felt in my heart that this is something that I really wanted to do in addition to business consulting and providing educational services. So it kind of came from within, and I figured, let me act on it. Let me see how this can play out. And I've really enjoyed the work that I've been doing in executive coaching, helping others really elevate their voices, being able to grow their confidence, executive presence, leadership, personal brand, all of those things, while at the same time helping them focus on their potential to grow and transition in their careers.
It's amazing work. Again, I know that you love so much, and thanks for sort of giving us the idea of why you do what you do so well. Obviously, you know, your experience prior to launching the Butler Initiative was extraordinary. And tell us about the actual work itself at the Butler Initiative, some of the extraordinary things that you do for your clients.
Well, one of the things that, you know, I enjoy doing is helping my clients really explore how they can be the best them that they can be, to help them live their best life. And that, I know, is something you hear all the time, but it's real. And from looking at, you know, yes, how do I achieve my personal and professional goals? If I'm in a role and I'm looking to transition to another role, what do I have to do? Where am I today, and what do I have to do? What do I have to change, perhaps, to get to where I want to be? I do enjoy helping my clients with that journey. And I also like for them to look at what is work-life balance for them, what are healthy choices for them, what is it that's going to make their life the best that they can be. Those are kind of the things that I enjoy working on with my clients. And of course, you know, business consulting is really leveraging my expertise in strategic development and corporate social responsibility and social impact. I also have a keen interest in helping organizations who are exploring and working on diversity, equity, and inclusion, especially those organizations who are looking to work externally, creating strategic alliances that really demonstrate their company or organization's commitment to the D&I space. I really enjoy all of what I do with the Butler Initiative.
You know, work-life balance. Sometimes when you hear that, people are like, never happen. It's only, you know, in TV shows that we have work-life balance. Never can attain that. It's not the real thing. But it is attainable if you know the steps in which how to, you know, achieve it, right? Why is it so important in our lives? And I think this great pause we've had the last 2 years has given us a appreciation, almost a moment in time that has been, in a way, so, sort of a slight gift to realize that the work-life balance is important. Why is it so important from your perspective, Marcia?
Well, you know, first of all, often work takes a front seat over everything else in our lives. And too often our desire to succeed professionally can push, you know, us to set aside our well-being, and the well-being is what's important to me. You know, they say work-life balance is the state of equilibrium between prioritizing the demands of your career and the demands over your personal life. And being able to create a harmonious work-life balance, because, you know, there is good work-life balance, is critical to improve not only your physical and emotional and mental well-being, but it's also important to your career. And, you know, I don't have to tell you what poor work-life balance means. Many of us have experienced it over the past, increased responsibilities at work. You know, you're working long hours. You've got increased responsibilities at home. You may have children, so parenting comes in to play. But good work-life balance has numerous positive effects. It's less stress. It's lower risk of burnout. And then just a greater sense of well-being. And, you know, even from an employer point of view, which we sometimes don't look at, but good work-life balance can benefit employers as well, because it can save costs, it can allow them to experience fewer cases of absenteeism, and their employees enjoy, you know, just a more engaging, productive work environment. And what we also find is employers that offer flexible work schedules and work-from-home options help their employees have a better work-life balance, back to what you were talking about. And when I talk to my clients about it, you mentioned the importance to pause and denormalize. Take a step back and ask yourself some questions. What is currently causing me stress, imbalance, or dissatisfaction? And how are these circumstances affecting my performance, perhaps at work or in my engagement on the job? And how are they impacting my personal life? What am I prioritizing and what am I sacrificing? And what is getting lost? All of those are questions that I hope to ask my clients to think about as they pause, because often, you know, what makes us pause is sometimes a major life event that makes you stop, you know, for example, the pandemic, and really step back and say, you know, I've been doing X, Y, and Z this time that I've been working from home, but I'm still, you know, working until 6 o'clock. I'm still tired. I do not have the energy. But we can also step back and intentionally reflect, analyze, and rethink our priorities to discover alternative ways of working and living. And the other thing I talk to my clients about, Jim, is paying attention to your emotions. Once there is an awareness that you're kind of overdoing it, how does that make you feel? Are you energized, fulfilled, and satisfied, or do you feel angry, resentful, or sad? Just kind of analyzing what the situation is making you feel and recognizing that you might need to make a change in order to have a more productive work life, but also to really feel good about your personal life. And then reprioritize. Once you understand what's going on, determine how your priorities need to be adjusted. What am I willing to sacrifice and for how long? Should I be prioritizing work over family? And why do I feel that's important to do? Is it really necessary? And if I do it, what regrets will I have in the future? So there are a lot of things that we can take in consideration when we're looking at our work-life balance. Like, do I love the job that I'm working? Because if you hate what you do, you're not going to be happy. And you may not love everything about your job, but it should be exciting and energizing, and it shouldn't make you dread getting up every morning. And you also need to prioritize your physical, emotional, and mental health, because prioritizing your health first, which is what I talk to my clients about, will make you a better employee and a better person. It will make you feel better about yourself. And lastly, we talk about unplugging, you know, and it's difficult. It's difficult for me to cut the ties with the outside world, to give yourself a chance to recover from maybe the stress you're feeling, allow you to really have time to think. You know, my clients say to me, I don't even have time to think. So you really do have to step back, take a break, relax, do whatever it takes to unwind and feel more energized before you get back on the clock. Work-life balance is really something that you have to action yourself, setting boundaries and work hours, setting goals and sticking to them, having a flexible schedule, you know, being able to tell others that I only work from 9 to 5 and sticking to it and not working on weekends and not working on holidays. Those are personal decisions and actions that can pay off for you in the long run. But, you know, in an always-on world, work-life balance is a personal thing. And I tell my clients, you have to decide the lifestyle that works best for you. And that then needs to be actioned. So those are some of the kinds of things that I share with my clients to really find that good work-life balance, that where they can enjoy their life and enjoy their work.
That's one of the most eloquent ways that I've heard it ever described. You put a lot of thought into this, which I think is of great value to your clients. You know, the pandemic also, in addition to sort of reassessing our lives and understanding the importance of the work-life balance, it's meant women have also had to navigate working from home and parenting from home, men as well, but really this emphasis on women having to do, you know, try to do it all, along with everything else that came with the pandemic. Now we're transitioning to this hybrid format of work. So where do you think is the time then for the work-life balance? Where's the time for the individual if now this whole shift of the working from home has come into play? There you are and everything is around you almost 24/7 now.
Yeah, and you know what, Jim? It's almost the same playbook that I just talked about, but it's more about I'm in a hybrid situation. You know, I am planning to work, you know, 3 days in the office and 2 days at home, and really being able to continue that focus on flexibility, where, you know, I still need to have time if I'm a parent for my kids, but I also need to be able to prioritize those things that I do at work. And back to setting boundaries, even when you're working from home, those boundaries are even more important. I know when I first started working from home, I found myself still, you know, looking at my email because my computer was up at 7 or 8, 9 o'clock at night answering an email. Oh, I'll just squeeze this one in. But we have to set boundaries for ourselves, and we also have to communicate those boundaries to our colleagues so that we can, when we are at home, we are productive, but we are also having time for those things we love to do. And when we're at work, we're clearly, yes, we still have the boundaries, but but we also are trying to make sure we have a flexible enough schedule so that we, too, still have time to get to be productive and also have time to enjoy our life, our families, and the things that we love to do. So it's probably the same playbook, but we're balancing it a little differently because we still have the at-home work and we still have working in the office.
That's so important to be able to maintain that in the way that you're describing it. You know, it's sort of like finding yourself and what you really want in life is what you're describing here so beautifully. Purposeful leadership. Tell us about that. If you can define what purposeful leadership is.
Well, you know what, Jim, it's interesting. I was reading an article and it had a passage from Alice in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll. And it says, if you don't know where you are going, any road will get you there. And I looked at that quote and it illustrated the importance of knowing your desired destination in life and work. And great leaders live their values and receive the well-being that comes from being true to their purpose. At the same time, you know, still trying to accomplish the results that they're trying to achieve. Yeah, the leader's purpose or purposeful leadership explains the why of leadership. It's about seeing your North Star that provides clarity and direction, particularly when you're trying to navigate complexity around leadership. There's another good article by Tony Gamble that was in the December 2021 Forbes magazine, and it talked about what are the questions, if you're looking to be a purposeful leader, what are the questions you should be asking yourself? And it starts with, what do you love to do as a leader? And then what positive impact do you want to have on the world? What relationships do you need or want to nurture or establish? And then what has changed or what will change because of your leadership? And I've looked at those questions and had to reflect on them myself. And I think being able to identify what you love and being able to understand what do you want to leave as a legacy or an impact in your life, and then allowing that to really lead you along the way. I also talk to my clients about the benefits of purposeful leadership. One is about motivation, because too often leaders find themselves in situations where their leadership role is disconnected from their purpose. And it makes it difficult for them to find and lead with passion and drive and engagement, helping them to really be their best selves. And when you work as a purposeful leader, what I've found is that you have high energy, you're committed, whether it be to what you're trying to do or to your organization or to the group that you need to help you. You're consistent about your performance because you want to do it well. It means a lot to you. And then you have a clear vision of what it is that you want to see happen. And great leaders do understand that clear and meaningful purpose is really the foundation for authenticity, which I truly value and believe in, and motivation, which I've talked about, and the well-being as you go along your journey. And I also find that leaders who align with their purpose are consistent. You know, they're driven. If you find someone who's got a purpose and they're on that journey, you know, they're clear, they're consistent, they can stay on track. Even if there's a changing business environment, they're clear on what they want to achieve. And they also take time to explain, you know, if they need to change direction, or they'll help others understand why change aligns with the purpose that they're trying to achieve. I think the other thing that I found trying to be a purposeful leader is really back to creating healthy boundaries. You know, a leader's purpose acts as a guide for making good decisions about how they prioritize their time and energy, you know, being on point for their day-to-day activities. If they're about their purpose, they're not off doing something that doesn't relate or add value to what their purpose is. And it also helps them to, what I've found is that you have to be able to say no to things that do not support your purpose and say yes to those things that do support your purpose. And, you know, I'm still learning more about my journey towards purposeful leadership. I recognize that each step that I take should align with my purpose in life. And you've heard me talk about empowering women and people of color, and the work that I'm doing hopefully will help them. And what I try to do is, yes, set up the boundary that where I say yes to business requests if it's related to my purpose, and then no if it doesn't connect to my purpose. And I have a quote that I try and share with my clients who are interested, that I believe in purposeful, intentional leadership where passion and compassion are center stage, and authenticity and joy, which means so much to me, are foundational to the decisions I make in my life.
It's extraordinary work you're doing. I cannot believe the 30 minutes has gone by in a New York minute, Marsha. Love to chat with you more, expand some more, maybe even hear some case studies and positive testimonials. But I do encourage folks to go to the Butler Initiative, LLC.com. That is spelled B-U-T-L-E-R, and then the word initiative, and then LLC.com to connect with Marsha Butler, skilled and a wonderful guest here on Close Up Radio for part two of the series. Marsha, again, went by so quickly. Hopefully we'll expand some more. Thanks for joining us on the show today and imparting all this wit and wisdom with our audience. Really phenomenal work that you're doing, and obviously you speak in such a flowing way of passion and expertise. So thoroughly enjoyed chatting with you, and I hope you enjoyed the time.
Thank you, Jim. You made it easy to share my journey, my story, and my experience. So I appreciate the time today, and thanks to Close Up Radio for having me.
You are very, very welcome. We hope to chat with you again real soon. Keep up the extraordinary work. Marsha Butler's coach, business consultant, and the founder of the Butler Initiative, where she specializes in helping leaders who are focused on their personal and professional growth, leadership development, as well as organizational innovation and transformation to help align organizations with their business goals and strategic priorities. Again, the website is thebutlerinitiativellc.com to connect with Marsha and the team. Jim Masters here, your host, thanking you for your time. Until next time, inviting you to stay right there. We'll be back momentarily with another amazing guest on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a great day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.